Audio guru.
Frederick is building a wall of ska. That's a very British haircut, to be fair.
Thank you.
I don't know, I feel like all British people look like Eric Idle in some way.
Wow, even Maggie Thatcher?
That's a very odd stereotype.
My daughter's stereotype is not necessarily British people, but my stereotype for European people is that they have larger foreheads than Americans.
Check their foreheads.
Yeah, check out their foreheads.
Check their foreheads.
Yeah,
I don't mean to be rude, but I was noticing your forehead. Are you European?
That's very polite.
Check their foreheads. Check their foreheads. Check their foreheads.
Come on. Put the woolly whack mouth.
I don't know.
That's not gonna happen.
Are you two mad at each other, Zach? Are you and Wally?
No.
They had a falling out. A man and puppet dispute.
I officially got rejected.
I'm famous. Don't you know who I am?
Wally.
Can't he just come talk, you know? Man and puppet.
He's so not sure what your plans for these things are, and he doesn't want to, you know, put his voice on some unlicensed recording.
Oh, you are being recorded, by the way.
Oh, I know that, but he's a little hesitant because of that. I don't know. Maybe he'll have to have you when he gets his podcast going.
Okay, yeah. I've been waiting for that.
Saying I'm being a baby.
I'm not monitoring the chat.
Look, I'm a man. I'm not saying I'm being a baby.
The resident ball buster. Take my crown.
Hi.
I was gonna say, you, Mike.
I think Mike is trying to taunt Cormod.
I think Cormac's gonna rise to it. You're not gonna get involved in a squabble over being a ball buster with Mike. Come on. Yeah.
Man, that frog looks a lot like a frog I saw at the Bronx Zoo. Yes.
That frog is Smug Frog on Chinatown. He's famous on Chinatown, so that's why I decided to use him.
Well, it kind of made me think of Kermit, and I didn't know if that would be appropriate.
After the rejection.
No,
he was directing that at Wally. No. I thought an obscure picture of what my street used to look like decades ago was... This was a little clearer.
Okay.
Not a good frog.
Yeah, it's a good frog.
Yeah.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah?
Tell Wally if he ever wants to get the musical act back together, that he and I can go on tour.
All right. Yeah, that'll be good.
You didn't even hear the song yet, Jason.
Funny that you mentioned.
No, Wally and I sang a song together one time.
Yeah, that's on YouTube as well, if you haven't seen that.
Oh, let me make a note here. What's it called? Jason and the Puppet?
Sweet Home Alabama Karaoke with Jason and Wally.
Wow, I cannot believe I missed that.
See for yourself, Frederick. See, you can see it right on YouTube.
How else can I send you links? I guess I can put links in this chat.
Just send them general delivery to the post office in Newport, Richie.
They know me. Just put Frederick's attitude.
There's a picture of him on the wall on the post office.
Man, do not accept charges.
Wanted for murder.
I never killed anybody that didn't. Deserve it.
I didn't mean to do that, sorry. I was just fooling around. Because I had to check out work in Mindia, but it's not as bad as I thought it might be.
Exidor was ahead of us. Yeah, no. Exidor is the crazy, like, street prophet.
Right. And was sort of amazing. So
He wrote an autobiography, My Life, by Exidor as told to Exidor.
Oh, really?
Hey, this is intriguing. Go ahead.
But now I'm wondering if you mean that the actor who played Exidor
in the story.
Oh, you mean on the show?
I always remember that as a child, that his book was by Exidor as told to Exidor.
Yes. No, that's very... Now, there are things on the show that are funny, and even Robin Williams does funny things on the show. And when I saw it, which is when it first came out, he hadn't... You know, he wasn't the Robin... I didn't think of him the way we think of Robin Williams now.
Sure.
Yeah. It was really quite astonishing. And now you look at it and you see how tired his stuff is now. And he's still doing many of the things he did on Mork and Mindy. So it's all sort of... It was like watching it with two different sets of eyes.
I give myself credit for never falling for it once.
I've never watched an episode.
Not one episode of Mork and
Mindy. Well, then it's
maybe because you could have enjoyed it perhaps when it first came out.
I owned some of those suspenders, but I was a dumb kid, so.
No, I never liked it from the get go. He just seemed to be trying too hard.
Oh, he tried incredibly hard, of course.
You're right.
And I guess, you know, my personality isn't even on the same wavelength, you know. I mean, back then it was all cocaine, right? I mean, that's where that whole character came from is cocaine.
I didn't know that. Just take my word for it or somebody else's word for it. Use your own brain, mind thing man.
Try not to clutter, you know, that thing about...
well, yeah.
There's so much out there to deal with. All right.
I've never met anyone like you, Fredericks, who is so... self-conscious about what goes in and out of his brain.
Oh, you are such a good guy, Mike. That setup was so perfect. So, I was reading under...
You're really on top of monitoring everything that you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life, I don't think you can stop it. All the junk is going to come at you. There's no way. Right. You're trying to ward it all off.
Right, well, or at least be aware of it and so that it does minimal... unobserved damage.
Yeah, but I think you're fighting a losing battle here.
That's fine. I don't mind. I'll keep fighting.
And I think
anyway.
You're fooling yourself if you think you can really control it. I mean,
not completely. I mean, it's like trying to fight the ocean or something.
Yeah, that's what
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you fight the ocean.
Come on.
Come on, you're so tough.
Cross this line right here. But anyways, in understanding media, my concern with television, I was reading it and I said, man, there's Marshall McLuhan again. He said, you are what you consume. So I try to have as much control over what I consume, what I take in. And I try to keep it as far away from the mass consumption, because I think that there's an interesting place to exist. And thanks to the internet, you can have outsiders that get together, whereas before they probably would just be, you know, lonely people sitting on the sidewalk thinking nobody understood them. You typing, Mike?
On my screen, it's Cormod. Are you typing Cormod?
Well, let's dump him.
I wonder sometimes what people's dreams were like before television.
Yeah.
Before we had all of these images inserted into our heads from television.
Yes, of what the average living room is supposed to look like.
So people would just dream clean. You know, they didn't have all these, as many preconceived notions about what things look like, perhaps.
Oh, I'm back.
Yeah, I know. We heard you typing, Mike. It was very entertaining.
why did that happen? I didn't do anything, and I got thrown.
Right, and there's no icon. Oh, no, your icon is on my screen. Yes, I see it. You're next to Cormod. You two are such buddies.
Oh, real good picture, you, Mike. You look real good.
My wife took that picture.
You're a real good photographer.
No, I think that's a different picture, Jason. I may have just been wearing the same shirt, which is like...
Oh, is it?
He's only got two.
Yeah, no, that picture was taken by the woman who came, for whatever reason, to interview me for...
Zagat.
Oh,
what was it?
Zagat.
Zagat, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's my other wife. My wife did take that picture. I told you.
How many do you have, Jason? How many wives do you have?
Just the one. I was kidding.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no.
Give your tease.
She walked right in the room, didn't she?
She's been here the entire time.
You know, Callie, you were really good with those little touches. I appreciate it tremendously.
It's Missy. That's cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Missy, that's good, voice. Too. Yeah, I know. Here we go again. And how come her image didn't pop up?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you knew it was Missy and not Callie?
I don't know who anybody is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much simpler that way, right? Ignorance is
now,
bliss.
I'm going to change my picture again. So this is me arguing drunk on New Year's Eve. Well, actually, 2000. The year 2000.
Well, I better go get my camera. Hold on.
There we go. I decided to be human.
Yes, this is the first time I've ever seen what you look like, Sarah.
Well, it's an old picture, obviously, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I had no idea. I've never seen a photo of you.
Well, there you go. That's what I look like, more or less.
You're pretty stingy with the photos.
I do not like having my picture taken, and I do not like having my image...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the photo thing either, but... You know, with the radio show, it just began to... And Tom's the same way. He's not a big fan of... You know, seeing his photo pop up all over the place. And it's like you don't control it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, he goes with it, you know, I go with it, you know, but it's, yeah, it's not always, you
that
know.
It would be hard. It would be hard to be in your position and always to be having a picture taken. Have you ever angered anybody? I mean, not since you became a celebrity, but has anyone ever
tried to take a picture of Maz? Yeah, I'm a celebrity. Yeah, well, let's hear that.
Before you were a celebrity, people sometimes try to take your picture at masses or something, because people do that at the bar here sometimes. Tourists will come up and they want to take pictures of...
Hey, look, there's Sarah! That's what we came up here for.
And I have gotten...
Don't say it so loud, she'll run away.
Refused to let me take my picture, and I have been gotten into some big spats. People think it's their God-given right to take another person's picture. And if you say you don't want your picture taken, they get quite miffed.
Yeah, no, I mean, with the radio show, I mean, with they've had the get-togethers and so on, and when I meet
that's
people...
A different thing. But you were a star.
But no, but still, you don't really have control over that, you know? I mean, it's like, I probably wouldn't want my picture taken about half the number of times it's taken. But, you know, what am I going to do? Be a jerk? You know, I'm not going to be a jerk to people if they want to take a picture with me, you know?
Right. That's why I'm asking about before you were a star. Because now that you're a star, it would just be obnoxious of you to say no.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Aziz Ansari won't pose for pictures, but he offers to spend 5 minutes talking with the person.
Oh, God, I'd rather have a picture.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the most mysterious man on the internet. There is not one picture of Fredericks on the internet. Does anyone know that?
There are actually, I posted two pictures of Fredericks. His face, face wasn't visible.
Yes, and I pose for pictures with people, but I always cover my face.
There
were pictures of you from
glasses.
Yeah, like at the tropical heat.
Can I recommend one way? A good thing is if you put a paper towel over your face or a napkin and then put your glasses on over. I've had my picture taken that way more than once. It appeared in a newspaper that way. It's a really good method. I recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
I begged Fredericks for a picture today. He wouldn't give me one.
Well, there were pictures of Fredericks from a Goner Fest.
But, I mean, it's my image.
That's right.
And I'm with the Native Americans who said, you know...
Your soul is stolen.
That is correct. That is correct. Well, and plus, nobody looks like their picture anyways because nobody stops like that. Well, I mean, except for some of these people here, but... Most of the time, you know, we're always animated and
right.
To get stuck with any single picture just seems.
Would you let yourself be videoed?
Would you let someone make a GIF
of you and my animated kitten.
Yeah, I've had several gifts pop up, you know, I mean...
Of you?
So, yeah, some of them are very entertaining.
Oh, like the ones from the music videos.
Oh, the yeah. Tumblr. Seen those.
Puppets in hell.
Tall trick.
I had a weird thing happen. I've got this temporary job now, and I got it through Nate. Nate is a WFMU DJ. You know, I've been doing some freelance work for him, and now, you know, he's out on, he just had a baby, and his company gives him paternity leave. So I'm filling in for him while he's out for about 3 weeks. And, you know, generally I don't bring up the radio show. It's not something I just will instantly start talking about, you know? And, but I noticed last night on Twitter that the woman I'm reporting to is, you know, a friend of Tom, you know? And so then I had the weird moment today where I had to, like, say, oh, you know, I had to make that sort of secret signal, you know, like, oh, you listen to the best show. And yeah, she's a big fan. So that's good, and maybe it'll lead to a real job. Who knows?
How did she not know? Oh, wait, this was only on Twitter. Because how could she not have recognized you or known you? I mean, you're recognizable.
Yeah,
and your voice is distinct.
Yeah, the same thing. You know, no,
she had to have known.
She did know, but she didn't bring it up. Like, I only worked there one day, you know, and she didn't bring it up, you know. And I
see. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
She didn't bring it up, and I don't generally bring it up. And but then
I walk around going, hey, I'm Mike from the best show.
Yeah.
Bow down.
I've got a billboard, and I wear a hat, you know. Best show.
Like a conductor.
Best show call screener. But no, so yeah, it was a little awkward, you know, that she didn't bring it up. But hey, you know, now we're buds. I hope I can get a job out of this though.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Oh, Mike, that did make me think of something. You use your real name, right, when you fill out your applications?
Yeah. what name should I use?
Are you suggesting, Frederick, that...
Well, I was just... They say that employers Google stuff, and I thought, what if they get the do-rag video?
Or they found you that picture of you with the gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's just this video of you arguing with a squirrel.
We might have got a breakthrough here, Mike.
I would be more concerned about that if it weren't for the fact that I'm not the most famous Michael Liss.
Who's bigger than you?
The most famous Michael Liss, when you do a Google search of my name, the number one guy is this murderer. You know,
that probably doesn't help either.
That could possibly count against you too.
Yeah, he killed his unborn child or something. I mean, it's hideous. It's like
it was a horrific story.
I just argue with squirrels. That's not me.
Yeah, it's one of the most horrible stories you've ever heard, and there it is, Michael Liss. You know, so he's way ahead of me.
Actually, when all the Long Island serial killer stuff started going down and they started abbreviating it, I would think of you every single time I read an article about it. Long Island serial killer.
What was his name?
Oh, Long Island serial killer. Think of it as an acronym.
Yeah.
An initial.
I haven't found it yet.
It spells out your name.
Oh. I can't even think on this level. That's too sophisticated for me.
It is a tough thing. Your own name is tricky.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, that name doesn't pop up too often. You know, it's not like a real thing you'll see that often.
The first result is Michael Lisk murderer. The second result is Michael Lisk Coors Light.
Yeah. All right, well, if I can get...
Not really.
Coors Light.
Oh, I'm let down, yeah.
I get Michael. The first one I get is Michael Lisk IMDb.
And is it the Hatch movie?
Known for Bananas, The Moves, The Rise and Fall of the New Pornographers. You know, I mean, you, in fact.
Oh, that's not bad. If it's IMDb, at least we can.
But then if they dig a little deeper.
Then there's the killer.
And
and you don't look at all like.
I'm just saying, Mike, you know, those are the things in this new interconnected environment.
Mm-hmm.
Back to McLuhan again. He had predicted that we were going to move out. Because books are, you know, they're a very personal thing. It's one person. Whereas, like, even now, there's a mass audience for what each person in here says. There's a mass of people. It's not a one-to-one interaction. It's a group interaction. It's more tribal and less directly linear. And that's what he was talking about when he was all... He said, because the way we consume our media, like books in lines with chapters and stuff, is the way that you start to organize the world. And now... with computers, you know, and the way you can time shift and everything, that linear thing is it going to be a thing of the past. And he was saying this in 1962. But, mind-blowing stuff in there.
Hey, Fredericks?
Yes?
Yeah, speaking of jobs and such, I've always been curious since I first heard you on the show. Mm-hmm. What do you do for a living, if you don't mind sharing that?
I mind.
You do mind? Okay.
Jim Morrison said we're going to be electronic music in the future.
Excuse me?
Jim Morrison said we're all going to be listening to electronic music in the future.
Yeah, he perfectly predicted it.
In what year? There was already electronic music by then.
But not everyone.
That's not a prediction. Yeah, I'll predict everybody will be driving cars with tires, huh? Yeah, that's tricky. And that'll be true in the future, too, for a while. All right, Mike, ready for the next one?
Sure.
Nebraska. It's movie time here at Mike's Skype thing.
Has anybody else seen this? I know it's not like in general circulation, but I finally got a chance to see it.
How is she concerned? Everyone's talking about that old lady. Is she great or what?
Actually, I thought the whole movie was great. I thought it's my favorite movie now of the year. I really like it. You know, I mean, I looked at American Hustle again, and I still like it, but I don't know. What's this? Bradley Cooper?
Again, have you watched the bootleg of it again?
Well, no, I have, you know, me and Tom, you know, we're in different circles, but I get the screeners from my bootleggers. It tells you for your consideration at the bottom, so it's an Oscar.
Well, it's that great time of year where all the Oscar screeners are up for illegal downloads on the Pirate Bay, so everyone get to it.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, Bradley Cooper is a little ridiculous in that movie, and I don't know what the appeal is of Louis C.K. Can anybody tell me what the Louis C.K. phenomenon is all about?
Yeah, he's a good writer. He's funny, Mike. Mike, did you see that movie where? Mike, did you see the movie where Joaquin Phoenix has sex with his phone?
Yeah, I hated that movie. I thought that was the most overrated movie of the year.
I didn't like that movie.
I'm with you.
I wonder what McLuhan would have made of that one.
I don't know why everybody loved that movie. Well, the critics. I mean, the critics liked it. I mean, it's got like the highest, you know, overall critic rating. But Nebraska, if you have a chance to see it, I mean, it's definitely worth.
Maybe you didn't connect with it because you don't really have a cell phone.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe that's my problem. Yeah, that must be it.
Well, I do have a cell phone. I
Well, and I've been doing some traveling though, and I mean, the point is that you can see a couple together, and they almost spend more time paying attention to their device than they do to their partner.
Probably keeps that partnership together. You know, they don't have to pay attention to each other so much, and so they stay together.
So they don't get sick of each other.
Yeah. Look at it that way.
LOL. Yeah.
Anyone here have iPhones?
I don't.
What's
honestly.
That?
I think probably a bunch of these people do.
Because they
I think, like, they programmed Siri where, like, you can make references to that movie and she'll respond with, like, you know, little jokes.
Oh! Oh, really? Like, what? Do you have an example? Z-Man?
I don't know, like, are you her, or, like, are you whatever the her character's name is or something.
Oh, then this must be really recent, then.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm impressed and surprised, you know, at how they update Siri with, you know, little things like that. Like, you can ask Siri, what does the fox say, and, you know, she'll give you different examples from that video, that song.
Those clever Silicon Valley kids, I'll tell you what.
They just update little things like that. I mean, you look up sometimes.
You are what you consume.
Funny Siri in jokes, like, I think, you know, I saw something where you can tell her open the pod bay doors, Hal, and, you know, all sorts of other silly little inside jokes they have programmed within her. It's amusing.
I heard that Siri was actually getting dumber because of the requests that were made upon her, you know, instead of practical things. When people, you say, you know, are you cute, you know.
She starts to giggle.
She's kind of shy when you ask about that.
She says, oh, you.
Okay. Hey, well, this ties in. Another beautiful segue. Another one of our topics was that Mike wanted to think is things that you never thought you'd see.
Yeah, I was telling Fredericks that while I was walking around in the village with which is near where I went to school. I went to NYU, and so I sort of, you know...
Greenwich Village, right?
And so I knew the area pretty well, and but I haven't been to the city very much in the last few years. And I was walking down West 3rd Street, which is where the Blue Note, you know, jazz club is. And there's a 7-Eleven next... not right next to it, but, you know, two doors down. And I never thought I'd see a 7-Eleven... you know, next to the Blue Note Jazz Club on West 3rd Street. It just seemed like, I never thought I'd see the day there'd be a 7-Eleven in Manhattan. I mean, for a while, you know, you didn't really see that. But now all the chain, it seems like the suburbs are going into the city. It used to be the other way around, you know, you sort of branch out, you go into the suburb, you go the other way. But now it seems to be going the other way with the suburbs going into the city with all the restaurant chains are in there now. And there's really not much of, you know, it's losing its character, I think. Because, I mean, you can go to a Chuck E. Cheese anywhere, you know? You got one in Manhattan, big deal. You know, Buster and what's that kid's thing? Dave and Buster's and, you know, Chipotle and, you know, all these chains are in there. And
well, maybe people are getting so used to finding the same things wherever they go, that the city is just catering to the desire.
Yeah, it's caving.
You have to be able to go to Chipotle, or you have to be able to go to, I don't know, what other chains are there? I don't know. I never see them anywhere.
I don't think it's even thought out as that. I think it's just like, that's what... You know, they make a lot of money.
I don't either. It's money. Of course, it's just money. Yeah. They just figure they can make money.
So, yeah.
You're still dark.
And a lot of people will go to a place that they're familiar with rather than a new place. Yeah. You know, so they'll say, oh, yeah, I've eaten there before, and it's great stuff. Yeah. I've eaten at Howard Johnson's. I'll eat there again rather than going to some strange, one of the most disgusting places in the world. It probably has something to do with that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's because the rent's so exorbitant, you know, it's harder for somebody starting out. But if there's a brand already established, you know, so people just go to what they know, and so the suburb.
And then you have to wonder, like, who who owns the brand, you know what I mean? Like, where it all stops. And I don't even mean it in, like, a paranoid sense. It's just how much money could really be behind it. And there's no chance that anybody could compete with that, you know?
Right, and we're back to the biggest problem with capitalism in general is the whole monopoly.
It always tends towards monopoly. I mean, that's the thing.
Marx had that bagged.
Yeah, it's the natural inclination.
Right. Well, and it seems like at least the American mind, or at least the conglomerate mind, you know, is like when they grow crops, they grow all the same crop, so they're drawing the same nutrients out of the ground every year. Then they have to add fertilizer to it rather than rotating crops and stuff. It's just like I don't know, like a bulldozing sort of mentality. of just ramming their desires into, you know, what the rest of us have to live in.
And cutting themselves off at the knees eventually. It's sort of like poor old Cuba. What happened, you know, Cuba messed itself up after Castro took over because they were still concentrating so much on sugar. And so you have a monoculture. And it really messes up a, you know, you can't really base your economy on one thing like that.
Right. Well, and also and you're also
agribusiness like monoculture.
And you end up being vulnerable to a pest too. I mean,
exactly. You know, well, that's the thing.
Disease,
that's why you can't do it, because one crop can fail, whereas if you have a variety, one might fail, but the others will do okay. But it is, we want things to be simple, simple, simple. People do, and that's what corporations do.
I know an independent record store owner, and, you know, Walmart eventually moved to the town where I grew up. You know, I've known this guy for years, going to his record store, and he actually had to do an end around. When Walmart would get a new release, you know, they could sell it very cheaply. He essentially would go to Walmart and buy, you know, he dispatched different people so they wouldn't catch on, you know. He wouldn't go in there himself and buy all the copies of the new Beyonce CD. But, you know, he'd send different guys that worked there. And he could get it cheaper that way than dealing with the distributors that he had to deal with. So, yeah, he had to do this sort of end around just to survive.
Hi.
Who's that?
Hi. Hi.
When I'm on AP.
You'd like to be lubed? You're lucky because it's happening all the time.
Hey, Gene Stapleton has joined.
Just come to say hi.
Hello.
No, I have not. You just said you were leaving about 10:15 or 7:15, and it's 20 minutes before. So I thought if you wanted to say anything, we could say stoof to each other.
Say stoof?
That's good, but I think you'll have a good time. Good to do it. I'm doing good things to do. Are y'all ready for bead?
Remember I told you about those pizza pals, Mike? I ran into on here?
Yeah.
I think this might be related to that.
Why don't you email me when you get home? Call me if you need me. I'll be here. But if you can email me when you get home and just let me know that it's going good.
What's your email again?
That you're back.
Frederick, give this kid a heave-ho.
Call you. Or you may just say take a cave. Either way.
I'm on a picnic.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
That's a really great username. It's a shame that was such a poor contribution, because that is a reference to the Andy Kindler section of the launch. Got to get it when I'm on a picnic.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. That's my favorite Andy Kindler line, is I gotta get it when I'm on a picnic.
Well, then, should I let him back on then?
No, he's not.
He didn't know how to control himself.
That wasn't very sociable.
Yeah, that was
like a nice. I had high hopes for a gentleman.
Well, why
are you coming back?
Should we give him a chance and let him apologize?
Why don't you try to have a conversation with him, Frederick?
All right.
He's your buddy.
You're personally responsible for him, Brady.
He's your guy. He's your guy.
All your fault.
Hey, Picnic, are you on? Mike?
I'm in the chat.
Yeah?
Is that you, Picnic?
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Yep.
Oh, there he is. For them to come on. So if you want to talk behind his back, do it quick.
No, he's in the call.
Yeah,
he's carrots.
He's eating a carrot?
He's eating a carrot.
I do that on a picnic.
Laying in the bushes, Frederick.
He's just hiding in the bushes?
Yeah. He's on a picnic. He's on a picnic, let's remember.
Mm.
I'm when I'm on a picnic.
Hey, well, here's, I'm going to let Tim Schaefer in, and maybe he'll be able to add some this light
kind
to
of
this.
Kind me out.
I'm when I'm on a picnic.
Tim Schaefer?
Orman wants to know more about Joe Puppy.
Who? Yes. Who does?
Orman.
Hey. The little speech bubble thingy.
Yeah, that should be a
speech bubble with instant message.
Oh, don't worry about me, guys. Go ahead.
To answer your question, Joe Puppy and I are on the outs.
Oh, really?
Oh, this is deep.
You talked about that on the radio, Mike. What happened there?
Yeah, he's a very temperamental guy, you know, and I I didn't know him long enough when I made the videos with him, you know. I was still sort of new to getting to know him, and we got along very well. And, but, you know, he is this guy who sort of does need a lot of attention. You know, he had a difficult childhood. He lived in an orphanage for a few years, and then he eventually, like, left the orphanage at a very early age. He was sort of living on the street and with different people bouncing around. So, yeah, I mean, he did have a difficult upbringing. Then he was in Vietnam, and, you know, by all accounts, you know, he had a pretty horrible time there. He was wounded a couple times. He was he's a small guy, and so he was a tunnel rat. You know, he was one of those guys
that, yeah,
you know, would go underground to try and, that's where the Vietnamese had these underground,
like a terrier.
Yeah.
Is that why he's called Joe Puppy?
The origin of the Joe Puppy is just somebody gave him that nickname, you know, and he runs with it now, you know. I don't think it's a particularly flattering nickname, you know, but that's, he's accepted it, and that's sort of what he goes by. Yeah, his last name isn't Puppy. Drinking is like his job. He gets up very early in the morning, and, you know, he basically goes to a bar as soon as they open, and will spend the whole day there. Most days, I guess, he can make it home. Some days he needs help. I've had to give him a ride home, you know, and basically just make sure he got into his trailer. After Sandy, you know, he went through all of that, and that was a big deal. You know, I helped him during that time. He doesn't drive. He doesn't have a car. I was giving him rides all over the place. I gave him rides to the VA. There's a VA that he goes to. About an hour from Bayonne. And, you know, so I was trying to help him out, you know. I mean, he was, you know, he was doing things for me with the videos and stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I felt like we were becoming friendly, you know. But, you know, at any instant, you say, if you disagree with him, he will just turn on you. And he sort of did that to, he did that to me a couple times. He got very pissed off because I didn't have the video that we shot in his trailer, the AP Mike Day video. Mm-hmm. And then, but the guys who were editing it, it took them a while, you know? And I guess one of the guys who was the main guy couldn't do it. So he was getting all antsy about seeing it, you know? You know, I just kept telling him, hey, I don't have it myself, you know? And he wanted a copy on DVD because, you know, he's not on the computer. So, you know, he was getting pissed off at me about that. He just went into a rant. He started cursing me out in the bar. You know, everybody's there.
Well,
know?
Like what? Like what did he say, Mike?
Yeah, what's he saying to me?
You know, you f***ing, you know, he's like, get for being out of work and all this
stuff. Oh, man, so he went to really be harmful.
Oh, yeah, he's
everywhere
just,
you made yourself vulnerable, he saw as a target.
Oh, well, but that I'm saying he does this to everyone, you know, and then I was just the next one who he would do this, because other people had already gone down this road with him, you know, where he finally burns all the bridges, and then, you know, he doesn't have anything to do with you anymore. So that's kind of what happened with me. The last straw was that there's a young kid. Well, he's not that young. He just turned 29. He, you know, he's got a mental handicap. You know,
who does it?
Yeah. You know, but this kid's a hustler. You know, he's got all these little odd jobs that he does around town. He delivers papers. He works in a bike shop. And the bar is right down the block from him, so he comes in there. They'll take out the trash, and, you know, do a couple things. You know, he does the snow removal around the bar, and, you know, we throw him a few bucks. But anyway, he came into the bar, and Joe was unhappy with a weeding job that he given him. He wanted him to weed around his trailer, and he was unhappy with the job he did. So as soon as he came into the bar, he's like, oh, here comes that.
Oh man, and that was it.
And all I said to him was, that's a little harsh, Joe. And then that was it. You know, I disagreed with him. And in his mind, I sided, because then he started leaving me these threatening messages.
Do you have some of them? I'm sorry. I'll talk to you about it after the podcast.
No, I don't have
the real faces of messages.
I didn't keep that. But he made, you know, threatening messages about how he knows everybody in town. If you wanted, I was trying to get a job at another bar. He's like, I know somebody who knows that owner. I'm going to tell him about you. You're not going to get that job. You're siding with the. You know, yeah.
He's gonna burn you with every puncture in Manhattan. And so this day seems like you've kind of not worth knowing.
You'll never work in this town again.
No, in retrospect, it worked out for the better because now I don't have, you know, I, for a while there, I was like, there's all these lawn ornaments. You know, it's a little bizarre. Well, you saw them in the video, some of the lawn ornaments. The guys who shot that video, I think they've got video of every lawn ornament in front of his trailer. You know, they have miles of footage, close-ups of all of these things, you know?
With stuffed animals?
Yeah, stuffed animals and the naked woman.
That was a weird...
But, you know, hey, I had to go down that road.
Yeah, I give people the benefit of the doubt until they do something wrong to me. I don't take other people's word for it.
And he'll never apologize. You know, he's actually been back to the bar. You know, for a long time, he didn't go to masses at all. He's still not really going there. He goes to, it's a longer walk for him, but he goes to a Knights of Columbus bar, which is cheaper. It is cheaper, you know.
But the clientele isn't quite as high quality.
And the weird thing was, I'd be driving around with him, and all he ever did was, like, backstab all the people in masses.
It sounds like there was some pretty clear signs where this relationship was going.
Yeah, he put masses down all the time about, like, how their prices are too high. You know, so, yeah, he's just a sort of difficult person in general. You know, I serve him, and I was working, and, you know, we just let it go, you know? But he's not calling me for rides anymore, which is great.
So what was this about him beheading people in Vietnam?
Yeah, well, you know, he would tell me stories, you know, just randomly, you know, he'd go off into... He would talk about how he would have flashbacks. And I guess one of the most hideous things he did was that, you know, he came upon a guy and he beheaded this guy for hand-to-hand combat. He said, you know, he has flashbacks every once in a while and... You know, somebody, you know, will approach him on the street and, you know, have a flashback to this guy's face, you know, and think it's him, that type of thing. You know, I take him for his word. I don't think he's making that stuff up. And he doesn't bring it up often. It's where he wears the army gear. I mean, you've seen in the videos that jacket he wears with all the military patches and so on. I mean, you see that a lot in Bayonne, and I guess you see it in a lot of towns, like the AMVETS or the American Legion guys, you know, who wear their hats, you know, with the different military units they serve with and that type of thing. Important to a lot of these guys when they've served and so on. I mean, a lot of the guys that come into masses were in the service, and you see the whole range of, you know, their reactions to, you know, some of them were in Vietnam, some of them were they didn't serve in combat, you know. But, you see a broad range of things at masses, you know. That's kind of what I like about it.
A little dark.
Yeah.
What's the youngest, like, the crowd at Mass skews? Like, so it's like you have Vietnam veterans and probably people older than that.
Retirees, yeah, retirees. And then you've got, you know, you have local people. And, you know, so there are young people in the neighborhood who go to the bar, you know, kids in their 20s. But, yeah, there's some young people.
Why you buy the bar in my town?
He's sitting out all kinds of money.
Fascinated by
Do they have a good business?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh.
Good in the summer. Good in the summer. In the winter,
I mean, my cousin's running masses now just for his father, you know? I mean, as soon as his father passes away, I don't see the bar continuing much longer. When that's going to be, I don't know. I mean, my uncle's had some health issues, but he seems to be doing okay now. Yeah, my cousin's heart is not in the bar business. You know, he comes up, you know, like once a week just to put in the orders and that type of stuff and, you know, collect the money.
You're paying close attention to what he does when he places those orders and stuff, right?
Well, it's not that complicated. I mean, he's just ordering pretty much the same amount of beer and liquor every week.
Well, then we just got to start a Kickstarter for you.
For what?
You buying masses.
Oh, me buying masses? I don't know. I mean, it's hard times for bars in Bayonne. I mean, there's a lot of them still, but there used to be a lot more. I don't know.
Well, because, you know, it's funny because they say that, you know, hard times are supposed to be good for the bar business. But then when the bar businesses start going bad, then the times must be getting really hard.
Well,
there's also, Mike, it sounds to me like Bayonne's similar to Scranton. I think you only had, like, oversaturation of bars.
Bayonne at one time had, you know, hundreds of bars. I mean, it's not a big town, you know, it's not a big town. And, you know, there used to be a bar literally almost on every corner, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, those days are dying, you know? I like the idea of a neighborhood bar, you know? But, and you know, they're holding on, you know? It's not like Bayonne doesn't have a lot of bars by most town standards. They do. But, you know, it's tough for them.
Yeah.
Well, if your uncle left the bar to you, would you take it over, though? Would you make that work?
No, he would leave it to his family, and I'm not...
I'm saying if he did, this is just speculation. Say, okay, this is it. This is what I'm doing.
You know, he realizes his son doesn't have the heart for it.
In my current circumstances, I definitely would, you know? I mean, I've got nothing else really happening.
Mike, I can see that bar fire burning in your eyes. I want you to have this.
Bar fire. I mean, I'm only there 2 days a week. If I had to be there a lot, I think it would take its toll because my cousin's wife, you know, she was sort of interested in it, you know, it was kind of a novelty for her. Her and her sister, you know, they're younger. They're like in their early 40s, late 30s, in that age. And they were bartending for a while, you know. But I think, you know, and they were only doing it like once or twice a week. And they couldn't take it, you know, because it's like, you know, you got a lot of depression going on in there. You got, like, the racism out in the open thing going on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I think it was too much for them, so they had to, like, step back and say, you know, like, get somebody else in here. We don't want to spend as much time in here. And
do they allow smoking in there?
No, there's no smoking.
No. Oh, okay, yeah. There's dives in Scranton that allow smoking still, and that's, like,
oh, really? The hardcore?
People would sit in there all day.
They'd rather just pay the fines than have to crack down on their customers?
It's a weird thing. I think it's a partial blind eye, and I think there's, like, a thing that's, like, if most of your sales go into booze and liquor sales, not food sales, you can... It's like this weird loophole that you can allow smoking. So it is legal. All the dives around here do it.
In Huntsville, and you have to, as long as you don't allow people under 19 in, you can have smoking. There was even a restaurant, like a diner, like a breakfast place, that was smoking. And you had to be over 19 to go in there and eat.
Whoa.
They didn't even serve alcohol. Because they allowed smoking. There were these old men in there, you know, who've been smoking their whole lives, and they just wanted to smoke and eat a, you know, eat their eggs and grits or whatever. And yeah. So that place was catered to them.
Well, coffee does taste better with cigarettes.
The non-smoking law was great for masses, you know. I mean, because I couldn't even go in there. In the old days when they had smoking, it's such a small space that you literally would reek of smoke after you left the bar for like a day.
You were in there for 5 minutes, right?
All of your clothes would stink, you know. Yeah. And one of my cousins was living above the bar, and apparently the smoke was seeping up through the ceiling.
Oh,
and well, her clothes would stink of smoke, you know, and she wasn't even going into the place. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was actually a great thing to happen to masses. Yeah, and all the guys, they still complain. They still grumble, especially when it's cold out, you know. Oh, why do I got to go outside? You know, I've heard that conversation so many times. But
do they have a little setup with any kind of cover or anything? Or
do
you just gonna stand on the street?
They're on the corner.
Over under, what year does Las Vegas ban smoking?
They'll never ban smoking.
Like 3,000?
No.
Yeah.
And you know why? And actually, I think there's certain casinos in Atlantic City where you can smoke. And there's a reason, because Chinese tourists smoke like fiends, and they're the best customers for the casinos. And so they want to smoke and gamble, they're going to let them smoke and gamble, you know? So I don't think you're ever going to see that happen.
Now, was that racist?
I'm gonna say
that's just an observation.
I think
it may be rooted in fact too. Like my sister lived in Tokyo for a couple of years. I went to visit her and I smelled like a pachinko parlor.
But now that's Japan. Cigarette. Mike said Chinese.
That's racist.
Uh-oh. Mike said Asian. I thought.
He said Chinese.
Oh,
you think they all look the same, huh?
Oh, Chinese. Oh, I've complicated this situation now.
Well, I heard somebody say Oriental, and you can't say
that. You can't say that on a podcast.
That's the word you can't say, yes. I didn't use that word.
You said Chinese. Making an observation. Yeah.
Oh,
I must have.
I'm not the first one to observe that the Chinese smoke a lot. I mean, that's well-founded.
Well, I thought it was the Japanese, so I think that's partially what might have caused the confusion.
Yeah, that's how we muddled into this.
Do you want to hear a joke? No, never mind. I have a joke that involves Chinese, Japanese.
No.
Okay.
I think I vote no. I vote no.
Okay.
I vote yes. I could use it in masses.
Okay. All right, good.
I don't think they appreciate my humor, you know. They have a very different humor in there.
So Mr. Chang and Mr. Goldberg were sitting on and riding in an airplane together. And part of the conversation came up. Can you guys hear me? Did I do something wrong?
There,
we're back.
I think we take that as a sign that joke doesn't need to be heard.
Skype,
and I'm from Alabama. And I'm saying this joke doesn't need to be
heard. Well, it was Goldberg, Iceberg, it's the same thing.
It was worth the wait.
When's the best show come back again?
Yeah, this is Mike's behind the scenes.
Behind the mic.
This will be on the Fredericks podcast, Fredericks, all right? This is, you know, inside dope.
Yeah, it'll pre- weren't the guests at Frederick.
No,
I
It was
wonderful. But anyways, well, thank you for being here.
Sure. Good night.